This is Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tonight's subject, the black artist and American society. Tonight's guests, Robert Hooks and Douglas Turner Ward of New York's Negro Ensemble Company. You speak for yourself and ask your questions directly by calling Collect Night Call's national phone number, area code 212-749-3311, or in the New York area, 866-5010. Night Call's host in New York City is Del Shields.
Good evening. In September and October, much of the rest of the country will be exposed to something so far restricted to only New York audiences. The Negro Ensemble Company is going on tour after completing a most successful first season. Its all-black casts and technical staffs got raves this year with the song of the Lusitania Bogey, written by Peter Weiss of Murat Sadi, who turned down several white producers and insisted that only the Negro Ensemble Company could do his new play on Portuguese mistreatment of Angolan Africans. They followed with an Australian drama, The Summer of the 17th Doll, which had previously been on the boards in New York and Australia with an all-white cast. Next was the first American staging of Nigerian playwright Wole Soyinka's Kungi's Harvest, and finally the work of an American black playwright, Daddy Goodness by Richard Wright. The Negro Ensemble Company is not only a thoroughly professional company, it conducts an advanced and novice workshop and teaches acting, staging, direction, lighting, box office, press agency, in short, virtually every aspect of the theater. The company is the brainchild and baby of actor Robert Hooks and actor-playwright Douglas Turner Ward, who have attracted considerable foundation support to make it work. Mr. Hooks' credits include the ABC TV series NYPD, Otto Preminger's Hurry Sundown, and the Broadway musical Hallelujah Baby. Mr. Hooks first met Mr. Ward when they were both in the national company of Raising in the Sun. Mr. Ward's credits are equally impressive. He appeared in revivals of The Iceman Cometh, Lost in the Stars, One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest, The Blacks, and Blood Knot, and in many network television dramatic shows. Mr. Ward also co-starred in his own first two plays, Happy Ending and Day of Absence, with Mr. Hooks, who produced as well. Robert Hooks and Douglas Turner Ward are standing by in New York to answer your questions and share your comments and conversation on The Black Artist and American Society. You may speak to them direct at our national number, which is area code 212-749-3311, and you may call us collect. That's national calls at area code 212-749-3311. In the New York area, you may call us at 866-5010. That's local calls at 866-5010. Mr. Hooks and Mr. Ward, good evening.
Good evening, Dale.
Good evening.
You're both with us tonight. Thank you so much.
Yeah.
How was tonight's show?
Here.
I beg your pardon?
We're doing a duo.
Well, I think this is possibly will be one of the finest shows we'll have, because I'm kind of delighted. I had a chance to see Daddy Goodness and just walked away completely thrilled. And thrilled with all of the work that the Ensemble Company has done.
Well, thank you.
My first question is, why did you feel it necessary for there to be a Negro Ensemble Company, and what do you hope to accomplish with it?
Well, Douglas, why don't you answer that?
Yes, well, the need for a Negro theater was self-evident for a long time. I mean, ever since the demise of the American Negro Theater, there had actually not been any professional black company that managed to, you know, function for any period of time. The fact that there wasn't created a situation where black talent really was always at the mercy of a theater which was predominantly white and whose thinking and ideology about black subjects and black life was very lacking. And we felt that until we could create a theater in which black artists were the controllers and, you know, they leading and guiding the project, that the black expression would never get a chance to be projected and black talent would not have a chance to develop, except from those few instances where you happen to have been employed in, quote, white theater.
That we also felt that there was certainly a need for a place for a continual training and continual performances instead of just the sporadic tokenism that had gone down heretofore or theretofore, and that was one of the reasons too.
Why do you call it the Negro Ensemble Company instead of the Black Ensemble or the Afro-American Ensemble Company?
At the time of our creation, Dale, it was not the fashion, in a sense, developed in which, the what I consider the non-substantive reasons for one word over another. It's my feeling that all three are very honorable words, and they have been used. Negro has been, we have called ourselves Negroes honorably, and as far as the derivation of, all of the words, they're all English, and we proudly, we are proud of all three expressions, and we do not, at the time, we didn't do it with any conscious intent, but we never intended, once we had named ourselves, to get involved in the current debate, which seems to select one word over another and impute to a particular word something which is not really true. I mean, in the sense that many people have developed an idea that Negro was the slave master's term. Well, that's not. I mean, they're all common in the sense that they were all English words that have been used. And by us, and in many instances against us, it's the attitude of a racist who makes any word. We could call ourselves green, and if it would still be a curse word in the mouths of those who would curse us. And it has been an honorable term. And I sometimes say, well, Negro. Dr. Du Bois engaged in a discussion of this back in 1925. And in explaining, that the etymology of the word and everything else was just as good as any of the others. And, what was good for Dr. Du Bois is still pretty good for us.
And I would think that it's certainly a question of semantics in any case. And I think that we are, at the Negro Ensemble Company, we are in no way ashamed or, we're just as proud to be called Negro as to be called Black or Afro-American.
We're proud of being, we use all of them very, very so non-self-consciously and very honorably, and we're proud of all of them.
And we are in no trouble, incidentally, of our identity. I mean, I think it's as Douglas said earlier, the fad is now to find a label. We have never really been in any trouble with our identity, and we're, I think, too busy creating and doing something about the problem that exists instead of just wasting time with pure semantics.
Yes, and also when we selected a name, we wanted a name which would immediately identify us. Negro is still more specific. I mean, there are many. Varying usages of black. It's a noun, it's an adjective, it's everything. And while Negro is a very specific term, and we wanted to name ourselves accordingly, that we would, that our name would immediately identify our composition and our, who we were and what we were. And that's why it was selected, That was another reason why.
Tonight on Night Call, we are discussing the black artist and American society with not one guest tonight, but with two, Mr. Robert Hooks and Mr. Douglas Ward Turner. And
Douglas Turner Ward.
Oh, Douglas Turner Ward. We'll get it together. All right. Douglas Turner Ward. Thank you. And you may call them direct at area code 212-749-3311. That's area code 212-749-3311. And, of course, you may call us collect. And our local telephone number is 866-5010. That's 866-5010 for calls in New York. Now, gentlemen, why did you select the downtown area as opposed to a Harlem site?
We didn't select a downtown area in as opposed to Harlem area. Our theater that we conceived of was a theater planned to serve the entire all of the black communities in the metropolitan area. Therefore, one of the questions when we located ourselves was a more central location with closer access to all of the ghetto communities. As we are now located on 2nd Avenue and 8th Street, we are about 30 minutes from Bedford-Stuyvesant. We're about 35 to 40 from Harlem, and we are about 45 from Jamaica, and we are practically 30 to 35 from Newark and the outlying, you know, most of the outlying ghetto communities. We are in a more central location to serve all of them. We did not develop a community project as such, as much as we support and are for, you know, the development of community theaters. We develop a metropolitan theater which would serve all of the metropolitan ghettos and with an easy subway access from all of these, you know, all of these points. Secondly, we created a project which had to begin functioning in less than 6 months from the date that we knew that we had the funds to do it. We did not have time. I mean, we didn't plan a project that we had to build a theater or a building. So we were looking for a plant that would immediately service our entire project right away with a theater and enough space for our workshop training program. I mean, and in the St. Mark's Playhouse, we leased the entire building, and it provided us with enough space to house our entire project, our workshop, our classrooms, our, you know, scenery rooms, and the whole works. We were able to create a whole program in one building, and this was very essential to us. So, for those two reasons, we located where we are. But this had nothing to do with a conscious opposition to not being somewhere. It was a positive decision of what we needed and who we wanted to serve. That determined this particular decision.
I might add, Dell, that it works. I mean, we have proven to ourselves and, of course, to our critics, the people that bring this question up, and don't think that you're the first one that's brought it up. We have found in our complete season, the one we've just completed, our first, that the black audiences do come from all ghetto areas, if you'll excuse expression, throughout the city and in New Jersey, as Douglas has stated.
Far away as Delaware,
where?
Migrant workers.
We've just completed a 2-day theater party venture with some migrant workers, black migrant workers from Delaware. And I mean, they come. I think it's more of what is happening,
yes,
rather than where it's happening. And I think we've proven to the public that we are doing the things that in general the black audiences can identify with and do like, and they keep coming. I mean, we've done 4 productions, and the audiences have been, well, we ended the season with something like a 70% participation from our black audiences, from all communities, from all of the areas of the city. So it does work, and, you know, we're certainly happy with the fact that it does work.
We also had, in our prior experiences, I mean, when we started the NEC, we had a backlog of experiences over a 15-month period of time with my plays at this very same spot. And my plays ran 15 months because of black attendance. And we knew that it taught us a lesson that no matter where you're located, the essential thing is what you're into. And the black communities will attend if you're into something. If you aren't, you can be located on 125th and 7th or Linux or what have you.
And you sell two tickets
and you're still going to go empty. We know
Mr.
that.
Hooks,
our
and
concentration is on the internal content that we offer.
Mr. Hooks and Mr. Ward, we're going to ask you to hold for just a moment.
Yes.
We're going to break for station identification, then we'll be coming right back.
Okay.
Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guests Robert Hooks and Douglas Turner Ward after station identification. Next week on Night Call, on Monday, the most visible minority, your policeman. John Harrington of the Fraternal Order of Police says police are being shot like fish in a barrel, and he wants to stage a two-day nationwide walkout of all police officers in protest of what he calls lack of support in dealing with racial violence. Tuesday, economist Robert Theobald on the guaranteed annual income. Wednesday, psychologist William Greer on the reasons for black rage. Thursday, historian William Katz and whatever happened to black history. And Friday, Joanne Woodward and Paul Newman on Vietnam and civil rights. All this next week on Night Call, the new nationwide call-in show on vital issues that brings you the experts with the answers to your direct questions. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Robert Hooks and Douglas Turner Ward about the black artist and American society. Again, Del Shields.
Mr. Hooks and Mr. Ward, we have calls standing by from New York City, from Springfield Gardens, as well as Kansas City, Missouri, so I think we'll take our first call from Kansas City. Mrs. Banks is hearing Night Call over KPRS-FM. Mrs. Banks, your question.
Yes, Mr. Hooks?
Yes, dear.
I'd like to find out, what do you think about this rioting that they're having in Miami? You're not too familiar with it?
Well, I'm familiar with all the riotings across the country, dear, but I think we should try to stick to the subject at hand. My feelings about the riots would go on for hours and hours and hours. I think we should stick to the questions at hand. I mean, to what we're talking about, which is not riots tonight.
Mm-hmm. Well, I was wondering because the CUA have been trying to keep it down here in Kansas City, Missouri, because we had a pretty big riot over here.
Uh-huh.
And I don't know if it's going to affect us again because of this what's happening in Miami. And
well,
I'm hoping not.
I hope not. Has anyone been hurt there?
Yes, quite a few people have been hurt here. In fact, it was about at least 10 people was killed here.
Were they black?
Yes, they were black.
That's usually the case. I don't know whether we should get into discussing riots.
Mr. Hooks, I'd like to ask Mrs. Banks a question. Since we are talking about the black artists in American society, I'd like to know what is the feeling of black people in Kansas City towards the black theater? Are there any active black theaters in that area?
Black theaters?
Yes.
No, none of them.
There should be, Mrs. Banks. There should be black theaters in all areas of this country.
Uh-huh.
Hopefully, we can do something about that one day.
Thank you very much for calling.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Mr. Kenneth Sidney is hearing Night Call over WLIB-FM. He's calling in from Springfield Gardens. Mr. Sidney, your question, sir.
I'd like to direct my question to both Mr. Ward and Mr. Hooks on the name of the theater, the black theater, of the ensemble group.
I think it should be the black ensemble group rather than the Negro ensemble group, because it's been too long that we have been wrongly termed or wrongly called. It's a so-called term. It's not a correct term. It's not a correct name that we should live by. And too many people today do not answer to the term black or to the name black, and that we are black. I think it should be a standing determination. And if we are going to have such a group as an ensemble of actors and actresses of black heritage and of black people, I think therefore then that the name of the ensemble group should be what it's supposed to be. Too many people today are afraid to say, well, I'm black. They feel nervous about it, or they feel unsure about it. I think it's high time that people nowadays, black people all over the world, should neither be ashamed of being black and saying that they're black.
Have you visited a theater, Mr. Sidney?
Not as yet.
I see.
Well, and just a brief reply is that in the first place, we are not ashamed of being, we're not ashamed of being black, have never been, and consequently, the question we use the term, as we stated earlier, we use the term black in designating what type of theater we are. And so the question of our theater being called the Negro Ensemble Company is not an evasion of being called black. I mean, we use the term, all three of the terms very honorably. We don't necessarily share the feeling that that the only description of black people is exclusively black. We do feel that the term Negro, the term Afro-American, and black, that they're equally.
I understand, Mr. Ward.
Yes.
But I know you're not evading, and I know that when you did formalize the Negro Ensemble, that you had good intentions and everything that goes along with it. But from common sense, I mean, it may sound like you're evading to other people, to black people who still refer to themselves as Negroes. Well, that they are, as far as the American society is concerned.
No, I think the majority of black people, and I haven't made any survey of it, I'm sure, you know, I don't know the survey. The majority of black people, I would dare say, still refer to themselves, call themselves Negro. I mean, that I know, and I'm part of a conscious intellectual environment where the question of only using the term black exclusively is part of this environment. But I would dare say that the majority of the black people who have I remember the time when the whole issue was almost capitalization of the N in Negro. I mean, but I would say that looking at the total generations of black people, and I'm one of those people who happen to feel that black people and black history is of one piece. It's that my mother and my father and so forth is as black as I am, and despite the fact that they may be 60 years old and grew up in an era where their options were not quite what I grew up with, but I do not exclude them and the fact that they have honorably and thought of themselves and call themselves very proudly Negroes, and they are in no less black than I am. seem like a picayune difference.
I understand exactly what you mean, but there's one more thing I'd like to say on the matter, and this is that the word black should be just as prominent as the word white. And over the country.
I don't disagree with you there.
And since this is a first, since this is a precedent as far as Negro art is concerned, I think it should be identified once and for all without any provisions of so-callism, if you get what I mean. I think identification today is of the utmost importance. And once we establish that black man is capable in all phases, is capable, then we should be identified and we should be looked upon as what we are, black people.
And you don't
one,
think
one that, question I'd like to ask Robert
sorry,
Hook.
Sorry.
One question I'd like to ask.
May I just interfere for just a moment, Mr. Sidney?
Yeah.
I'm very curious. When you talk about whether it should be a Negro theater or whether it should be a black theater,
Or
an Afro-American, whatever, I think that we have to kind of think about what Rap Brown has said about the Afro hairstyle. You know, he said there are a lot of people who are wearing the Afros but still have processed minds. Now, I don't want to put you on the coals, but you have not visited the theater, and yet you are calling in on a cross-the-country show and discussing whether or not the theater should be named Negro, or whether it should be named Afro, or whatever. I think that the question is whether or not we're going to support these gentlemen and these very talented people who are doing a tremendous job. I'm sorry that it's just here in New York. What they're doing should be, I think, in every city across the nation. A lady just called in about Kansas City, and I think that perhaps if they had a black theater in Kansas City, much of the problem might be eliminated. But I think we should think about supporting what these guys are doing.
You're absolutely right, though.
Because in
and
the final analysis,
I just haven't had the opportunity, and I intend to tomorrow or the next day or in the very near future support the theater, because I'm a very staunch moviegoer myself, and there's nothing I'd like to see more than black people on the stage,
beautiful
movie houses, on television,
come
everywhere.
On down and check us out.
Yeah, come on down.
I'd like to ask Robert Hooks one question before our time is up. And I'd like to ask you, Robert, how did you feel playing the part in Hurry's Sundown? I mean, playing your part that you've been playing all your life. And here you are, an actor, and an actor supposed to act out a character,
mm-hmm.
a character that's 90% of the time that's so much different than the character that he actually is.
Well, I think that's a problem with all actors, man. You know, when you have to portray what the playwright or the screenwriter or the author gives you to portray. I felt I didn't feel bad at all playing the part. The only time I really felt bad is when I saw the movie and saw what they had done to the movie and saw what they had cut out of the film, which was not what we spent 3.5 months under fire in Baton Rouge, Louisiana with the Ku Klux Klan. I mean, it was not what we had done. I mean, what Otto Preminger did with the film was what disappointed me most, not so much the character that I comfortably, I might add, portrayed as far as shooting the film was concerned. But you see, in this business, which is unlike any other business, you don't know. You're at the mercy of the editor and the director when you do film. At least on stage, you can pretty much control what you do. But when you're doing film and you may shoot a scene. I remember Diane Carroll and I
That's the scene in which I'm talking about. I wanted very much to see the intimate scene in which I saw on billboards or on pictures.
I tell you what, I have access to those things, and if you're ever in the area,
maybe we can get together and go. I'd like to see him again myself because I missed it. It was fun doing it, and to be honest with you, I was disappointed with what Otto had done with the film because we took so long, and it was really kind of groovy working with Diane and the rest of the people.
Maybe if the films had come out again, then they might see fit to.
I'm sorry to cut you off, but we won't have much time to talk to you anymore.
I appreciate the time that you have given me, and
I'd just like to say we have to do our own films, man. Negro, Black, Afro American. We have to do our own films, and we can't wait for the Otto Preminger's to do it right.
I'll be there, rest assured.
Okay, but come to the Negro Ensemble Company, man. Forget about the name of the company. Come down and see what we have to offer you.
I don't want you, however, to forget about what I was saying. I mean, I think a lot of other
man,
people...
Listen, we get it all the time.
Mr. Sidney.
We get it all the time. We hear it all the time. And it's legitimate, except that you have to, you know, you just have to come down and see what we're doing. And, you know, different strokes for different folks.
Right.
Mr. Sidney, thank you so much for calling.
And thank you.
Thank you. The Black Artists and the American Society with our guests tonight, Mr. Robert Hooks and Mr. Douglas Turner Ward, will return to them right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guests Robert Hooks and Douglas Turner Ward after station identification. America is growing smaller. Speed of communication, speed of travel, and the worldwide revolution in human rights. These things bind us together into a common destiny. One man's problem is every man's problem. More and more we realize the only real problem is the human problem. People who need jobs, better education, better places to live, better medical care, and better hope for the future. A chance to become part of the American dream of freedom and opportunity. But for the American dream to succeed, each of us must be responsive to the needs of others. To give a damn about our brother or our sister, black or white. You'll find some answers to how you can help give a damn, how you can offer your help, in a new booklet called Whose Crisis? Yours. You can get a copy without charge by writing to Night Call, Pomona, New York, zip 10970. That's Night Call, Pomona, P-O-M-O-N-A, New York. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Robert Hooks and Douglas Turner Ward about the Black Artist and American Society. Again, Del Shields.
And a welcome to the Night Call stations who join us nightly for the second half hour. Calling in from New York, Mr. Robert Hooks and Mr. Douglas Turner Ward, and tonight we're discussing the Black Artist and American Society. We have a call coming in from Miami, Florida. Mr. Bellamy is hearing Night Call over WAME. Your question, Mr. Bellamy.
Oh, yes. Mr. Hooks and Mr. Turner, I'd like to ask this question. What will be your next production? What picture will you produce now? Will it consist of a Negro cast? What have you in the future now?
Go ahead, Douglas.
Yeah. In the first place, we've just completed our first season, which we did 4 plays. The second season will begin around the same time that our first one did, and that was the official opening will be sometime right after right after New Year's. I don't know yet specifically the plays that we will do, but the one thing that we will do next season is a total season of contemporary black playwrights. I'm in the process now of attempting to select from a large amount of scripts submitted to us a whole season of 5 plays this time. We did 4 the first time. 5 plays by contemporary black writers. This is as much as I can say about the specifics of the next season. However, in our first season, our company was an all-black company. In the second season, the company will continue to be an all-black company, but I don't know, for instance, a black playwright might write a play about the confrontation of black and white. So we may have to job in white actors, to be with us in order to portray the particular parts that black playwrights may find necessary, you know, to write about it. And
we job in the whites like they do the Negroes, you know, like they do the blacks and most of the rep companies across
the
country.
It is an all-black company. It's personnel. The entire personnel is practically 90% black, the entire thing. And this is as much as what I can say specifically. I don't know yet what the specific plays will be, but they will be played by, all of them will be by contemporary black playwrights.
Well, I would like to extend an invitation to both of you, also to Mr. Dale Shield and all the whole staff, to come down in Miami and, well, visit some of the Negro theaters we have here. We have theaters such as the Capitol Theater and, well, other theaters, which of course had to close because of the building the expressway. But we still have the Capitol Theater right now.
Well, we certainly will if we get down that way. We're gonna go on tour shortly, but we won't be getting down that far. But if and when we do, we certainly will come by.
I would like to add this though, that the I know you're not talking about the riot, but that the riot has subsided a great deal. So they have removed the troops now. So everything is very quiet.
That's always good news.
Well, the only thing we say we didn't want to get into it, but I will say this sincerely, we didn't want to talk about it, but the loss of black lives affects us very much. It's not that we aren't talking about it because, as black people, we aren't concerned with every time it happens, and I must say for myself personally that all of these situations in which black lives are being lost is one of the most, things that affect all of us every time you read about it. It's happening.
I hope you'll visit the local theater here, too.
Mr. Bellamy, yes. I will be in Florida on Thursday, Friday, and Saturday of next week, or I should say this week, so maybe we'll have a chance to kind of get together and we'll check you out.
Oh, maybe you'll give me a ring, I hope.
I certainly will. I'll be at the Sheraton for Ambassadors.
And I would like to say that to you, Mr. Dale Shield, you're doing a wonderful job. I enjoy your program very much. Keep the good work up.
Thank you so very much, sir. All right. Thank you for calling.
All right.
The Black Artists and the American Society, and tonight we are delighted because we have not one guest but two, Mr. Robert Hooks and Mr. Douglas Turner Ward. And of course, these two gentlemen are the driving force behind the most successful Negro ensemble company. And we'll take another call, this time from Indianapolis, Indiana. Mr. Banks is hearing Night Call over WTLC. Your question, Mr. Banks.
Mr. Hook.
Yes, sir.
How are you doing this evening?
Oh, I'm just fine.
Wonderful. It's nice to hear from both of you.
We're happy to be on. Good old Dell, he arranges these things.
I myself are a young, aspiring black artist. I've written poetry and I worked as a newspaper reporter and presently in the service in the information field, but on off-duty hours, I freelance for a paper here in Indianapolis. And I'm very much interested in black art and how it is catching fire across the nation, especially within the black community. Now, I have organized a very detailed discourse, and I probably won't cover all the points I'd like to cover, and I think that needs to be covered, so this will be carried in very much free verse. And what I'd like to know is, how much support are you getting from the black community in this? Is it really catching fire? Are they really interested? Do they really appreciate it and understand what you're trying to do?
Well, as we said earlier, Mr. Banks, we have made fantastic strides in that direction. The Negro audiences have given us the utmost support, and it surprised us, we must confess, in our first season, because we got so much support from all of the so-called Negro communities and Negro ghettos in the city. It has been an overwhelming success, and we are happy with the results as far as black participation. And these people that we get that come to see our plays are people that come back. I mean, in other words, when we opened the season with Song of the Lusitanian Bogey, which was a play about blacks in you know, in Angola, in the Portuguese reign over them, the audience has started, the support started, and it has built to a fantastic point. And that is one of the things that has really, really pleased me, and I'm sure it has pleased Douglas the same way.
In fact, tonight, just to give you an example, we just, in coming on the program, have just left the theater with a practically 90% black audience from Harlem.
From the heart of Harlem.
From the heart of Harlem. And, you know, this has been, as far as I'm concerned, the most significant thing about our existence for this entire year has been the developing support on the part of black people from the black communities, to the extent that if we can continue to develop this audience, then we will be we'll be self-sufficient to the point that we will not have to worry about critics or anything else. I mean, because we will have a continuous, permanent, habitual black audience. And this is what we set out to do, and we're very surprised that it developed to the extent that it did in such a short period of time. And this is one time where I can say that we can definitely say that black people have supported us. And not only supported, they've supported us. Our theater is a paid theater. Nothing free about it. They have supported us through the box office. I mean, they've paid. So and they've done it freely on their own free will and free choice. And apparently, we must, you know, we've done something that have inspired them to give us this support.
Mr. Ward,
I'm sorry.
Could you tell us something about the black audience? Is there a difference in the kind of people who come in? What kind of response do the
first of all, before he even answers that, I was going to tag his thing with something that the black audience. What's so beautiful about the black audiences that come to see our plays and in general all over New York? That, you know, the beginning of come. They don't really read those reviews. They don't respond to the reviews, which is, again, as Douglas said, once we really and truly cultivate this audience, it's going to be beautiful because it's not, you know, basically the theater is based on, you know, but I mean, what has gone down before us is that, you know, like the carriage trade audiences, which is basically white, you know, if the reviews are bad, they just don't come to see the play. But if you are really doing something beautiful for the black people, they come. They don't even read the New York Times reviews. Go ahead.
Tell me this. Is this the same program that Leroy Jones had a hand in establishing?
No, this is... Leroy's was the...
The Black Arts Repertory Company.
Right.
No, that was a whole different thing.
That was before our even existence.
His was before yours?
Oh, yes.
Yes, he was located in Harlem for a period of time, but it's not functioning now.
Right.
Roy is now
right.
in Newark. I mean, with another project called Spirit House.
Yeah.
But ours came like almost a year or two after.
I think 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
More like 2 years. Roy is the Black Arts Repertory Company is no longer in existence,
mm-hmm.
but Roy is over in Jersey, over in Newark, which
right.
is his hometown,
right.
doing some fantastic things, and hopefully he can pull it all off because they really got Newark up in arms. So,
plus, he's on the road a lot. I saw him in Kansas City about a couple of weeks ago. He was there at a Black Musum sponsored affair, and he read a lot of his poetry,
uh-huh.
and there were other groups there, black entertainers, whatnot. Although Kansas City, which is my hometown, doesn't have, as I know, an established black theater, there are black troops that come through, like this particular event, I think.
Douglas and I, as a matter of fact, have been through Kansas City a couple of times.
Mr. Banks, we want to thank you so much for calling.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much.
Bye.
This is Night Call in New York. The Black Artists in American Society, our guests tonight, Mr. Robert Hooks and Mr. Douglas Turner Ward, will return with more questions from Jacksonville, Florida, from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, and from New York right after station identification. Stay tuned for the Night Call Network.
More Night Call with Del Shields and guests Robert Hooks and Douglas Turner Ward after station identification. Tomorrow night on Night Call, Democratic Senator, presidential candidate Eugene McCarthy, who many say single-handedly softened this country's official position on Vietnam, made us finally approach the possibility of negotiations on a serious basis by his primary showing in New Hampshire, and certainly got Robert Kennedy into the race. Answers your questions direct on this new national call-in show on vital issues. Many say he isn't involved with the black-white thing because he doesn't really care. But McCarthy himself says he will not make a racial appeal to either white or black to gain votes, although the death of racism is a moral necessity of the greatest urgency. Democratic Senator, presidential candidate Eugene McCarthy of Minnesota answers your questions direct tonight on Night Call. Speak for yourself, collect on Night Call, area code 212-749-3311 or 866-5010 to Robert Hooks and Douglas Turner Ward about the black artist and American society. Again, Del Shields.
And we'll take our next call from Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Ms. Helen Brown is hearing Night Call over WHAT. Your question, Ms. Brown.
My question is, I heard that they would be traveling, that the black company would be traveling around to different cities. I was wondering if they would be in Philadelphia.
As a matter of fact, first of all, I'd just like to say that that Philadelphia is one of my old stomping grounds, as it is Dell's. We plan to, on our way, the first week is going to be spent in Atlanta, Georgia, at Spelman College. We're going to be there for a week. We're going to do the two plays that we're doing now, which are Song of the Lusitanian Bogey and Daddy Goodness. We'll be there for a week, and then we're going to be, I think, in North Carolina. I don't know the itinerary that well, except that I do know we plan to hit Philadelphia if things work out right. We plan to hit Philadelphia, and I believe we're going to be going into the Academy of Music there. If not, then it'll probably be the University of Pennsylvania, one of those places. But we do plan to hit Philadelphia.
I think it's that theater there not the Living Theater.
Theater of the Living Arts?
Yeah, I think it's that theater, possibly. I don't know.
We have not settled on it. We're still in negotiations, and the negotiations are being worked out by the third member of this triumvirate, Jerry Crone, who handles all the administration stuff. But we will be coming there.
Okay.
Thank you for calling, Ms. Brown.
Goodbye.
This is Night Call in New York, area code 212-749-3311. That's our national telephone number. Don't forget, you may call collect. We welcome your comments and your conversation on the black artist and American society. This time we'll go to Jacksonville, Florida. Mr. Washington is hearing Night Call over WRHC. Your question, Mr. Washington.
Good evening, Dell.
Good evening, sir.
First of all, Dell, I'd like to make a statement that for 40 years, personally, myself, I've been called boy, John, Sam, Willie, Negro, colored, Negro, and nigger. And all of a sudden, I find I'm black. If I think just said, a rose by any other name would spell just as sweet or something to that effect. It doesn't make any difference what they call you. You're either a man or you're not a man.
Yeah.
So far, for the black theater, the Negro theater, or whatever else you want to call it, I would like to ask Mr. Hooks, Mr. Ward, what are the opportunities for Negro boys and girls who are now coming out of very fine, like our southern colleges and universities like Florida A&M and Bethune-Cookman and Edward Waters and Florida Memorial College here in Florida, to speak of before, who have good departments in drama? What are opportunities on Broadway or in the theater world for them?
The first place is very ironic in the sense that, in terms of the Floridians, if that's the way you pronounce, we have in our current show, we have a young actor who many black young aspiring talents as our facilities permit. I mean, and it's completely open. There's no, I mean, we don't have any questionnaire in which you have to live up to anything. We merely interview, and if we have the space and the you know, the person's dedication is assessed by ourselves, they become part of a tuition-free. They don't, nobody pays us anything. We train them completely tuition-free, and then we try to develop their talent. Now, our problem is that our professional company, which is the final result of, you know, our talents, is relatively small. We cannot hope to utilize all of the talent even that we develop. We hope that by creating a pool of talent and with our own existence pointing the way possibly to other theaters and other theater projects and even maybe influencing the greater theater at large, that this talent may find its way to be utilized in you know, in the theater in general. In this sense, we hope that we provide the opportunity, as much opportunity as our facilities permit. And from there, we some of this talent may find its way into our company, but even that which doesn't, we are hoping to create a situation in which it can function, as, you know, that actors can pursue their craft on a professional basis, which simply means that to pursue one's craft on a professional basis is to make a living.
Mr. Warren,
I might add, Mr. Washington, that the realistic fact is that in New York or in California or in any of the major cities, the breakthrough has not really taken place. And what we do here at the Negro Ensemble Company is we train these actors. We give them. We train them in all phases of the theater, incidentally. We start off with acting. We teach them voice and speech, dance and movement, all of the technical aspects. And we have, in doing that, found a couple of very, very interesting set designers, a couple of very, very groovy costume designers. But these people really and truly have not really had, they don't have a place to go. The change is happening, but very, very slowly. And New York is simply filled with very, very talented people with no place to go to really cultivate the talent. And then after they cultivate the talent, no place to go to really make a living. We do as much as we can, but as Mr. Ward stated, we can only hire so many people within our means. And it's a problem, and I think that what has to happen is that most of the companies that really, you know, have the resident companies or the professional Broadway things or off-Broadway or whatever, have to really and truly make it a point to deal with this black talent that is coming along and coming out of your state and a lot of the southern states and all across the country. I mean, they just have to really and truly realize that the black talent is here and you got to deal with it.
Another question, even though dealing with this, is this same thing is prevalent among white talent that comes to New York too, isn't it?
Oh, it's a problem. I mean, it's always been a problem with black and white talent, except that the white talent, they of course have more outlets than the black talents. But it is a problem. I mean, no one denies the fact that it is hard, period.
To break into show business.
But they always have a standard market. I mean, they merely have to compete and beat out, a white actor has to beat out 19 other white actors for a particular role. But every year, those roles exist. I mean, they, you know, they're there. Often with the black talent is that if a season in the commercial theater does not happen to present a play or a musical which utilizes black talent, then the star, the black star, as much as the black beginner, is just out of work. I mean, and so he hasn't, there's never been any steady market where the talent can, even the black talent, it could be matched
in relation to the situation of the white talent. I mean, it's very difficult in any event, but for the black talents, it's like many times the market just provided with nothing.
I'd like to just add, while the white theater flourishes, and it does, and of course it's difficult for the white actor and the white director and all that, but at least the jobs are there. It's just that somebody gets it before the other person. But in 1965, 66, for instance, when I produced Douglas's, we've been a team for a long time, I produced his plays off Broadway, Happy Ending and Day of Absence, which were two plays, two comedies that employed, something like 16 to 17 people on stage and a lot of black people behind the scenes and some of the people out of my, at the time, which was my workshop. We employed that year, and this may really sound astounding to you, but it's true. We employed that year in that production more Negroes than any other, than all of the Broadway and off-Broadway plays combined.
In fact, I think the estimate was that we provided 75% of the employment
that year
for black actors, and we were a very small-scale operation.
Exactly.
Which meant that you can gauge from that what was happening to the rest of the, you know, the theater.
Mr. Ward and Mr. Hooks and Mr. Washington, I want to thank Mr. Washington for calling in, and we've got just enough time to take a short call from Atlanta, Georgia. Mr. Washington, thank you so much, sir.
Thank you, Dale.
Thank you.
This is NyCall in New York, and we'll go to Atlanta, Georgia. Miss Jeter is hearing NyCall over WAOK. Your question, ma'am.
Yes, this is Felicia Jeter, and I'd like to address my question to Mr. Hooks or to Mr. Ward. I'm calling about a somewhat personal problem. I am a young, attractive, extremely talented black young lady, and I'm interested primarily in a career in television and or motion pictures. And I'd like to know, what are the problems in these fields? I'm also interested in the legitimate theater, but more so in these two other areas. You mentioned legitimate theater.
Mr. Hooks and Mr.
In television and motion pictures.
Mr. Hooks and Mr. Ward, you have about 30 seconds to solve this problem.
It's Mr. Hooks, and I'll just answer it briefly, dear, because we don't have that much time. But let me just tell you that the problem exists in television and motion pictures the same as it does on the stage. It is a problem that we just have to try to do something about, and we are trying to do something about it here in New York. My answer to what really wasn't a question was that it's a difficult problem in general, including television, motion pictures, and stage. And we are desperately trying to do something to solve that problem. And hopefully, a beautiful, attractive young black lady like yourself can come to New York or Hollywood and make a living one day.
Ms. Jeter, thank you so much for calling.
Thank you very much.
Mr. Ward and Mr. Hooks, we want to thank you so much for being with us tonight on Night Call.
It's our pleasure, Dale.
Thank you so much. This is Del Shields in New York. Good night and peace.
Night Call, the new nationwide listener call-in show on vital issues. Tomorrow night, same time, same station, Democratic Senator, presidential candidate Eugene McCarthy of Minnesota on why he should be the Democratic presidential nominee and the next president of the United States. Listen tomorrow night. Discuss freely and responsibly your own personal opinions. Speak for yourself on Night Call. Produced by the United Methodist Church, presented with National Council of Churches, National Catholic Office for Radio and Television, American Jewish Committee, and Urban Coalition.